Graham presents... Hello, Mom.
Hiya, Mom. This is Connie.
Hello, Mom. It's Sydney.
Hello, Mom. This is your boy, Johnny.
Honey, Mom. This is Bob.
Hiya, Mom. It's me, Tommy.
Mom, it's too bad that we can't permit 1,000 aviation cadets to say hello personally each week, but we've got enough of them here in the West Coast Air Force's training center at Santa Ana alone to jam the airwaves with their greetings. And so we're trying to do the next best thing by gathering a representative group of pilots, navigators, bombardiers, and gunners for an informal visit with you. We dedicate this program to the Horned Toads, the boys of the Air Force's Gunnery School at Las Vegas, Nevada. In their honor, Captain Eddie Dunstetter, the band and vocal chorus present Buckle Down. There's a lot of good advice in that song that applies to all of us. The gunners are doing their part to buckle down. Now, Mom, get yourself comfortable and listen to Captain Dunstetter in the orchestra play Stairway to the Stars.
Thank you. one moment, mister. I have an announcement to make.
Oh, not a commercial.
Well, there's something on that order.
Well, I got just what you want. Read this.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see there. Zero meets Flying Fortress headed for Tokyo. Zero say, so sorry, Boeing San, get out of sky. Pilots say nothing. Bombardier say nothing. Navigators say nothing. But gunners say, oh, yeah? Did. Down goes Zero, so sorry. Thank the Lord for gunners. Well, that's pretty good. What's your name, mister?
Gunner L. Johnson, sir.
So you're a gunner. And why did you decide to become an aerial gunner?
Well, I was a natural for it. Maybe that sounds a little swell-headed, but you see, I had a lot of practice on quail and ducks.
Oh, you could hit them on the fly, huh?
I seldom miss.
Tell me, is there much difference between bird shooting and aerial gunnery?
Well, yes, sir. For one thing, the quail and ducks can't shoot back at you. Besides, the gunner has to shoot from a moving plane, so the lead is different.
Lead?
Well, that's the distance you aim ahead of an enemy plane, sir. Oh. Except when it's going straight ahead of you or coming straight at you. And then you figure on speed, wind drift, ammunition velocity, and so forth.
Sounds complicated to me.
Oh, yes, sir. A gunner has to be brainier than a navigator, quicker than a bombardier, and tougher than a test pilot. At least that's what Nails always said.
Nails?
Well, he's my best bunny. Gunner Nails McCauley, sir.
He sounds like quite a character.
Yes, sir. See, he had a girl. She had a mother.
Oh, it's a pity sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Especially when a gal's mom makes up her mind against you.
I wonder why they do that. You'd think that once in a while, a prospective mother-in-law would be just sort of fatalistic or, well, resigned.
Yes, sir. But if you knew Nails McKay and Mom Wiggin. You see, Nails wanted to be the toughest guy in gunnery school. He's only 5'2", maybe 2.5. Not built extra hefty or muscular. So that's why the gang in the barracks nicknamed him Nails. It struck them funny that he would act so tough. I mean, he was just too cocky for his size.
But it's all right for gunners to be small and aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, but Nails sure overdid that hard-boiled stuff. He seemed to be afraid the guys would think he was yellow if he sidestepped an argument. The third time he chose a guy too big for him, I thought I'd better give him a talking to. So I cornered him in the machine shop one day. Good afternoon, Mr. Mulcahy, sir.
You can have it, Al.
And why the mister?
Well, if I said hi, you Nails, maybe it'd swing on me.
I still don't get it.
I'm trying to find out what was the idea of you squaring off to Swenson.
Why not ask him?
I did. He said he was just kidding you.
I've taken enough of that around here.
Oh, for gosh sakes, Nails, get the chip off your shoulder.
It's just a laugh to you, sure. They don't tag you with a sarcastic nickname and rib the life out of you. I'd like to see you in my spot for just half a day.
You're exaggerating the whole thing, kid.
Okay, okay. Any more of this lecture, or can I go back to work, big boy?
Go ahead. Sorry I wasted my time.
Hey, wait a minute, Al. You're right. It's up to me to take it. I ought to be able to do that. I've done it all my life.
That's better, kid. Shake. You know, we've got a good crowd in this outfit. They don't really mean to pick on you. They rib you, well, rib them back. Well, they don't have your feelings stuck out a mile. This army hasn't got time to be polite.
Okay. But, Al, look.
Yeah?
Do they think I'm a coward?
Coward? A guy that wants to fight Swede Swenson? Oh, listen, kid. Don't worry about that. Just watch yourself so you don't get the rep of being a feisty little sorehead.
You haven't heard any of the guys say that I...
Oh, forget it. Wipe that grease off your face and I'll buy you a Coke at the PX. But I'm still worried about Nails, see? So the next afternoon, I'm walking in town with Nails in a 2-hour pass when a snappy convertible bangs up against the curb and I'm...
Jimmy, it is you. It is you.
Yeah, it's me. So what?
Oh, aren't you glad to see me? Are you really in the Army?
Yeah. So what?
Oh, I'm so glad, Jimmy. It'll make all the difference in the world with Mom.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah, you said that 3 times, pal. Get a little variety into it. That's about changing the subject to me.
A good idea. Miss Wiggin, this is Mr. Al Johnson.
Oh, hello, big boy.
Hiya, Red.
Can't you make Jimmy say something to me besides yeah and so what? I've been hunting for him for practically 2 whole months.
Sure, I'll say something else, Morty.
Well, then say it and give me a smile and shake hands or something.
Is your mom still alive?
Of course.
Too bad. I was afraid of that. Goodbye.
Oh, Jimmy, wait. Now, please, let me explain.
Tell your troubles to Uncle Al. I'm in a hurry.
Oh, no, you are. Now, come back here.
Hold it, honey.
Oh, but he's got to talk to me.
Never run after any guy. It's technically wrong, see?
But you don't understand. I'm engaged to Jimmy. We had a crazy fight, and, Now that I've found him, I...
Look, Morty, does Lana Turner run after guys? No. She lets him go and sulk and tells her troubles to good old Ralph Bellamy. That's me.
Say, can Jimmy get lost? Can he disappear?
Not a chance.
You're sure?
The guy's in the army.
But what if he resigns all of a sudden?
Well, there's always a delay in such cases. About 4 years.
You mean he has to stay right here in this camp?
He sure does, baby.
Oh, that's wonderful. Excuse me, I've got to put in a long-distance call for Mom right away.
Wait, couldn't I drop the quarters in for you?
No. No, thanks.
Well, you're such a little girl. Want me to hold you up the mouthpiece?
No. I always stand on tiptoe. Now, you go talk to Jimmy and tell him I'm going to get everything all straightened out.
Yes,
and tell him I'll call just as soon as I talk to Mom.
So she brushes me off, hops in that convertible, and disappears around the corner. Now I'm left alone with my memories for about a minute. Then Marge comes along, so I don't get to see Nails until after supper. He's sitting in the gun shed near the .22 caliber range with the parts of a machine gun in his lap. If I'd been in his place, I'd have had something in my lap, too, but not a machine gun. The guy didn't look any too happy. Hey, Nails, did Marty call you?
Yeah. So what?
I wouldn't talk to her. Oh, you're nuts. A nifty little redhead with green eyes? Those things are getting scarce. The production is down, you know. You've got to have a priority number now.
Well, help yourself.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You know you like Morty.
I'm off of her.
Why?
It happens to be a personal matter. Any law says I got to spill my private affairs all over this gunnery school?
My. You are tough. Why, just one tear out of Miss Wagon would leave me a lump of putty in her hands.
Let her cry. Tears don't mean a thing to me.
No, you're putting it on.
Halfway. She's got to do a whole lot more than turn on a few weeps to square this.
Square what?
Plenty.
Oh, for instance.
Look, when I want you to know, I'll tell you.
So how do you like that? I'm his best pal and he doesn't trust me. All I want to do is find out the trouble between Morty and Nails and make the course of true love run smooth. The idea of a guy going off to war at outs with a cute little trick like Morty was not good. So the next day, when Morty shows up at the visitor's room at camp and asks for me, I say to myself, this time you'll get the real lowdown on the whole thing. Oh, but no. Morty, don't trust me.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, I thought you'd never get me. Did you talk to Jimmy?
Yes, ma'am.
What'd he say?
He said he was off you.
Oh. Well, I can't blame him for that.
Would it be too bold to inquire just what you did to Nail?
Nail?
The sweet, soft little guy you knew as Jimmy is now Gunner Nails McCady.
Oh, how marvelous. Oh, Mama loves it. You'll be so impressed. Nails McCady. Gunner Nails McCady. Did he do anything dangerous?
Well, he...
Well, tell me. I must know. It's very important.
Why is it important?
It just is.
Look, Morty, I don't mind being your Uncle Al, but you've got to feed me some facts, eh? Nails won't talk. You won't talk. How can the dice roll?
Would tomorrow be time enough?
No, this is a strain on my mind.
Well, I'm sure you're a very nice boy, Mr. Johnson, but I belong to a sort of peculiar family. We don't go spilling our private affairs to people that are practically strange.
Hmm. Just what Nail said, his very words.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Mom is coming tomorrow.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's why I came to see you. Mom can patch it up between Jimmy and me.
Yeah. Nail sure loved your mom.
Oh, don't be sarcastic.
Oh, don't cry, no.
Oh, I won't cry, but... You just got to help me.
Well, maybe I could. If you tell me what caused all the trouble.
But all you have to do is answer just two questions.
Okay, shoot.
Is what Jimmy's doing really and truly risky?
Well, I don't know. What isn't risky these days? You step off a curb in a dim out and some guy runs a truck over you.
But he is actually going up in the air and shoot guns at Japs and Germans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That'll fix Mom. Now tell me, is there any place I could hire a private plane and take Mom for a ride?
Private plane?
A good fast one, a ship that could do all the stunts.
Well, you'd have to drive about 30 or 40 miles. You say you want to take your mother for a ride?
I've got to. It's the only way I can get Jimmy back. Now, where do I call to see about a plane?
Bill Prescott at Desertville.
Could you get some time off tomorrow, Al?
Why? What for? I'll come.
Now, wait a minute. Just one more thing. Ask Jimmy if he'll make up, if Mom apologizes for everything. And call me at the hotel.
Well, I guess I'd always been a sucker for puzzles. Morty had handed me a lot of double talk and nothing added up. So what did I do? I go right back to Nails. By this time, I just gotta know what's cooking. So I start telling Nails everything Morty tells me. But when I get around the part about Mom Wiggin arriving in tomorrow, Nails can't take it. He turns pale and he looks sick. I see all this hoopla about not caring for Morty was a front. So I move right in. So Mom Wiggin is the main trouble, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let her come. Tell her you're going to marry Morty. Stand right up to her and say, so what? After all, mothers-in-law are human like anybody else.
Not Mom Wiggin.
Who is she, anyway? What she got on you?
Oh, she bosses Morty and everybody. Just think, I was going to let Morty wait around another day or two and then make it up. Now I'm cooked. I got to transfer away from this outfit.
Transfer? From the Gunners?
Yeah, I got to right away. How does a guy go about it?
You're going to run from a gal who ain't even your legal mother-in-law yet?
It's that or else.
Else what?
I'm afraid I might use physical violence. Break her neck. No, I got to transfer.
Wait, Nails. Think a minute. You're a born gunner. Why, you wouldn't be happy in another outfit.
Any law says I got to be happy?
So I'm on the spot, see? Oh, everybody's on the spot. Morty, Mom, Wiggin, and Nails. And Mom is the cause of it all. So I go to the colonel and tell him we got to save Nails. Maybe the colonel's got a mother-in-law. Anyway, he gives me a pass. And I meet Morty and Mom. I'm expecting to see some old battle axe. And when Morty drives up the junction to take me aboard, here is a middle-aged gal not much bigger than Morty sitting in the back of the car. The main difference is that Mom's hair maybe went to the drugstore a couple of times. And she's wearing a big picture hat.
Well, here we are, Al. Not very late.
Yes, ma'am.
Mom, this is aviation student Al Johnson.
Howdy, young man. The remoter says I'm going to ask a few questions before I go any further.
Yes, ma'am.
You a pal of Mulcahy's?
I sure am, Mrs. Wiggin. Nails and I have been buddies since the first day of school.
You see, Mom, they call Jimmy Nails, just like I told you.
Well, I still say he's a coward. And if there's anything I despise, it's a cowardly man.
Tell her, Al.
What makes you say that about Nails, ma'am?
I got my reasons. We won't go into that. I'm asking you the questions. Is Mulcahy yellow or isn't he?
No, he isn't.
What makes you so sure?
A guy doesn't volunteer to be a gunner if he's a sissy.
Ah, what's so brave about the job?
We're going to show you that, Mom. Now, you promised to give me one chance. Mom's hard but fair, Al. She'll always listen to both sides.
It'll take a heap of showing to convince me.
That's just what you're going to get. Hop in, Al.
Yes, ma'am.
You ever hear of Flo Wiggin and the Wiggin family, soldier?
No, ma'am. Don't believe I ever did.
Thought not. Where you been all your life?
Well, in Missouri.
Not St. Louis or Kansas City?
No, ma'am.
Start her up, sis.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I still can't figure Mom and Morty. I think maybe they own a big ranch in Texas or someplace. The car's expensive, Morty has knockout clothes, and Mom has plenty of diamond rings. I can tell that Mom thinks she really is somebody. And when we get to Desertville, I find that Bill Prescott has rolled out a fast cabin job. And you don't hire them for peanuts. Bill is an old-time barnstorming student. Stuntman, also. Morty gives him a wink as we walk out to the ship.
My mother thinks being an aerial gunner is sissy stuff, Mr. Prescott.
Oh, I wouldn't call it that.
But you wouldn't call it really dangerous, would you?
Compared to what, for instance?
Oh, I know what Mom's comparing it with, and she's wrong. Can you imitate a bomber, Mr. Prescott?
Well, pretty close.
In a fight? With enemy planes?
I'll do my best, Miss Wiggin.
And Al?
Yes, ma'am.
You show Mom what a gunner has to do, will you?
Yeah, we won't be in real life. This guy's shooting at us.
What? No Heine or jet plane, sis?
Oh, now, Mom, that's very unfair. If you've never been in a plane in your life, you shouldn't make up your mind in advance and start ribbing it.
Okay, sis, keep your shirt on. I've done goofier things than this in my day. But I still say, okay, you ran out on us.
Okay, Mrs. Wiggin, you need any help up those stairs?
Mister, I've been climbing steps all my life.
You really want the work, Miss Wiggin?
Well, pour it on, Flyer. These tights are safer than autos. Danger. I think it's 99% hooey. Pour it on, Mr. Prescott.
Right. All aboard.
Miss blood in Prescott's eye, see? I got blood in my eye, too. Prescott takes that ship upstairs, and I yell, zero on her tail. Down he goes in a power dive with me doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I look at Morty. She don't feel so good. Then I look at Mom. She takes off her hat and grins. So I pass the word to Bill, and he gives it the works. Zooms, loops, barrel rolls, and power dives. Bill sets her down.
Mom. Oh, wait till I get my breath. Huh. I want to ask you something, Mom.
How about it, Mrs. Wiggin? Is it sissy stuff?
Nope. I'm wrong.
Oh, Mom, I knew you'd be honest.
Yep, sis. I call it a good, manly occupation. If Mulcahy's really in it, I'll have to take back what I called him.
Morty, you okay? You feel all right, Morty?
Well, sure, Jimmy, I feel fine.
What's the idea of taking Morty up in that plane, Mrs. Wiggin? She's delicate. She's not a tough customer like you.
Yeah, I'm okay. It so happens that Morty took me up.
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. You don't understand. Now, Mom wants to make up. She'll apologize. Won't you, Mom?
Oh, well, I don't know. He ran out on his contract and had to cancel 19 cities.
But he didn't do it because he was afraid of the high wire. There's a war on. He felt it was his duty to help. Didn't you, Jimmy?
Yeah. High wire? Were you a tightrope walker in the circus, Nail?
Yep, Sonny, he was. With the high wire Wiggins and the biggest show on earth. You should have caught Sis here and Mulcahy in the big climax.
Now, Mom, don't brag.
They worked at 80 feet, without a net. Mulcahy would carry across 50 feet of wire. Sometimes it kind of gave me a lump in my throat. No net, mark you. And just that single wire and them two up there using it for a bridge with certain death... Oh, of course, I was only worried about Sis.
Oh, Mom. Tell Jimmy you're sorry. Go on.
Well, he could have explained that he was quitting to go in the war, couldn't he?
Ah, you'd have still called me a coward.
I don't think she understood, Neil.
You see, Mom's worked on the high wire since she was 6 years old, and she'd call anyone who quit a coward. But not if they quit to be a gunner.
Well, I'll admit, Mulcahy's all right. But this has spoiled an awful good gag.
What gag?
I was going to glare at Mulcahy and yell, so you joined the army, you coward.
Well, it would have been a corny gag. And stale, too. But for my dough, it's a good idea to remind us guys in the service that it takes courage for moms to stay at home and wait. I clipped a piece out of the paper that expresses how a mother feels. I want you to hear it.
The clock ticks on. Like a needle trying to stitch a gap in time to close my room. I bite my lips upon the pain and think, someday he will return, and I shall laugh and live again.
Well, Mom, that little verse is true enough. But here's another aspect of courage. Do you remember little Johnny Doe, that freckle-faced youngster who used to live next door? Remember he was so bashful and shy, everyone laughed when he said he was going to become an aviator? Well, Mom, no one laughs at him now. He's one of that proud legion of young Americans who are flying officers in the Army Air Forces. Yes, sir, little Johnny Doe is now a member of that great American team, made up of bombardier, navigator, pilot, and gunner that streaks through the skies somewhere over there, on a mission for Uncle Sam. The Army Air Forces can use a lot of Johnny Doe's, Mom. Young fellows, 18 to 26, who are fired with courageous determination and have the physical stamina to back it up. Naturally, they'll be mentally alert, and I'm sure they'll qualify. They can find out easily enough at their nearest recruiting office. Then, when they've finished their training, they too will win their wings as fighting, flying men of the air.
Come marching down the line. I don't know a son of a gun who wouldn't be willing to run to see a parade come marching down the line. Perhaps I'm what you call a patriot, but one thing's certain, whether I am or not, I love a parade. The tramping of feet, I love every beat, I the military. I love a parade. A handful of Mets, a minor cadets, or any brigade. For I love a parade.
Everyone loves a parade, Mom, so let's follow Captain Dunstetter, the orchestra and chorus as they go parading from coast to coast. Finish, wasn't it, Mom? We'd really like to do more for you, but, well, our time's up, so I guess you'll have to wait until next Friday, August 21st at 9:30 Pacific Wartime, which will be our new time. We wish to express our appreciation to Lorene Tuttle, who played Maudie in tonight's cast, and to Jane Morgan, who played Mom. Aviation Cadet John Carroll played Gunner Johnson. Aviation Cadet Sidney Schlesinger was Nails, and Connie Evans was Bill. Dave Elton was our producer, and this is Private Hal Gibney saying until next time, so long, Mom. This is the National Broadcasting Company.